Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we definitely want to sneak in some of your phone calls, find out what you want to talk about, and give you the chance to be heard all across Montana. We'll have the phone lines open here in just a few minutes. You know the number, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. But yeah, definitely want to have the phone lines open a little bit here on today's show, because tomorrow we are going to be broadcasting live from the KATQ Farm Expo in Plentywood. So I'm looking forward to hitting the road to Plentywood here later today and then seeing all of our friends in the great corner of Northeast Montana tomorrow. We got a great lineup already of guests that are already planning on joining us for this show. So that's going to be a great time. And then we'll be back in studio on Friday. Normally we'd have our legislative update on Thursday with Senate President Matt Regeer and then the House Minority Whip as well. But I know we've already got President Regeer confirmed. He'll join us on Friday instead so that we can kick off the Farm Expo tomorrow. A great guest just popped into our Montana Talk studios. Ryan Hall is the editor of the Rural Montana Magazine and, of course, is a communications director for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association as well. Fresh back from Guatemala. You still got a little bit of a tan, Ryan. Looking good.
Yeah, it doesn't really look like I've been outside in the snow like I was yesterday here in Billings. But it was 16 days in Guatemala and in the 90s every day with humidity. And it was good weather until you tried to hike up a mountain.
Yeah, and carrying a massive power pole with you while trying to hike up the mountain at the same time. Well, it was so cool having you call into the show from Guatemala and just share the stories of these linemen. And then we shared the photos on our Montana Talks website of, you know, the kids just hugging these big, tough electric utility linemen from Montana because, I mean, you told the stories. I mean, there were grandmothers that had prayed for decades just to get basic electricity. They've now got it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it's going to be in our next Rural Montana coming up here in April, but I'll tell you the lead already because that was one I liked because I talked to you about the prayers and I talked about how the mayor called them angels. And I said, not all angels have wings. Some have climbing belts.
yeah, exactly. And all sorts of tools attached to those climbing belts. Yeah, the photos were just incredible. I mean, the incline on some of those, you know, forested hills and the jungle that they had to, you know, climb through just to get the poles put in place and then start wiring these remote villages and everything. By the numbers, how would you summarize what all was accomplished down there?
25 poles were put in. We ran over 2 miles of line. From the beginning of the road to the village was about 1,800 feet in elevation gained over those 2 miles. That gives you an idea. There was a lot done. 23 houses wired, 7 more to be wired when the houses are completed. It'll be about 180 people when all said and done.
Wow. And then, of course, Ryan has been in close contact with his legislative team that's been covering the Capitol in Helena for the Montana legislative session as well. So we'll chat about that and more with Ryan Hall from the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association and the editor of the Rural Montana Magazine.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, great to have Ryan Hall in the house. He's in town, the Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative, which I'm a member of. I'm get my power through YVEC, like many of you get your power from your electric cooperative in your neck of the woods. And so they're having their annual meeting. And so, Ryan, you try to get around to a lot of these annual meetings and just hear what members are saying, hear what co-op board members are saying. What's just the talk of the town as you travel across Montana?
Yeah, I'm doing 3 this week. So I had Wyvek yesterday, and then Bighorn County down in Hardin was yesterday. And then tonight I'm at Mid-Yellowstone and Hysham. So if you're a member of the Mid-Yellowstone, come out and see us tonight. You know, it's really just getting together in fellowship more than anything, and then talking about what's going on at the co-op. Of course, they let you know where rates are and pressures that they have. They let you know updates, but a lot of it is just thanking the employees and letting people know who the employees are and getting to know them so you can shake a lineman's hand and get to meet them before they have to be out in your yard and fixing power when there's an outage. It's just, you know, we are member-owned nonprofit. And that relationship we have with our members is what sets us apart from any other utility. And the annual meeting is where we get to celebrate that relationship more than anything else.
Yeah. By the way, I should let our friends at Sheridan Electric know. I'll be in Plentywood tomorrow. If they want to come down and say hi, join us on the show as well. We'll have the microphone open for everybody and got some other guests already lined up, too, especially on the farm and ranch front with it being the Farm Expo tomorrow. What a difference a new administration makes. I mean, we were so concerned about, you know, this effort to tear down the dams in the Pacific Northwest and what that could do to ratepayers in the western part of the state in particular. Sounds like that issue has basically gone away practically overnight. But now you and I were talking during the break, there's some other interesting things like what could the future of the Bonneville Power Administration be altogether? So that's some of the other conversations going on back in Washington.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's so early in the administration. You just got to wait and see. But because he was there before, we know some of the things that were talked about before. Will they be talked about now? And, you know, privatization was a big thing he pushed for with different federal agencies. Will that touch anything that touches us? You got to, you know, kind of wait and see where everything goes. And obviously, like you said, it's kind of got quieter on the dam front, but we're still pushing really hard because when you get quiet is when things happen.
Yeah, you can't take things for granted, and you can't just assume that the job's going to get done and it's going to get it taken care of. Because even if they are planning to stop that whole effort to tear down the dams, they need backup. They need you. They need the co-ops. They need the co-op members. They need the people to back them up and say why it's so important that we keep that reliable electricity in place. What about the state capitol in Helena? House Bill 490 has been the big one that our listeners have been talking about, have been hearing about, to protect you know, wildfire insurance and the whole liability issue to make sure you're not held at, you know, you're not held liable for something you're not responsible for. I know you're used to roaming the halls of the Capitol in Helena yourself, but since you were down in Guatemala and then now traveling the state, what are you hearing from your state Capitol legislative team?
Well, you know, Mark Lambert and Gary Weens are out there doing a great job. Gary really went down while I was in Guatemala and basically lived in Helena for 2 weeks, so I appreciate them. You know, what we're hearing, it cleared the House on a great vote. I think it was 98-0 on third reading. So we're just watching how it goes through the Senate. We're expecting some pressure from some national groups, which, you know, happens a lot in Helena when they come in. But the main thing just that we need people to know, and I know Mark said it on your show before, but I don't think you can say it enough, is this isn't a liability shield. This isn't taking away our liability. If the utility is found to be liable, then they make the person whole. That is still there. What this is limiting is what's called strict liability. It happens on the federal level, and we've seen it in California where before they even knew what caused the fires, there was lawsuits against the utility. When you're talking about nonprofit co-ops, that can bankrupt them. So it's not limiting where they are liable. It's just making sure that they are liable, that there was negligence that led to liability instead of just assuming. And it's also, really importantly, requiring fire mitigation plans, which means that hopefully there'll be less wildfires and that homeowners are more protected, because electric co-ops and other utilities will have to have plans in place for trimming trees, keeping things out of the right of way, so that we have less of those contacts and dry times that could cause those wildfires. So it really protects landowners as well.
Yeah, it was so cool last year at your annual meeting. Then candidate for the U.S. Senate, Tim Sheehy, along with Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, they had an event at the airport while you were having your annual meeting. So last minute, they end up coming down, saying hi to the co-op folks. He hops on the microphone for like 5 minutes and totally summed up this very topic, because he gets it, because he's got a ranch in rural Montana. And so he basically made the point that, like, look, if they lose their insurance for something they're not responsible for, I lose my electricity. Our ranch no longer has power. And it was like, boom, what a great way to summarize that whole topic right there.
You know, I've gotten the question a lot when we talk about how this could cause bankruptcy. The question we get is, well, then what's the plan? Who takes over our power? People think there's a plan, and there's not. I mean, does that mean your lights will go off? Possibly. Does it mean some government entity comes and takes over? Does it mean it becomes an agency of the state? Who knows? But there isn't a plan that, okay, well, when this co-op goes bankrupt, this IOU comes in and takes it over. We have to remember that the reason co-ops were founded was no one wanted to serve these rural areas where it doesn't make money.
There's more dirt between light bulbs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, there's more cows than people per square mile in some of these places. And so you've got to remember that people didn't want to serve that. So if the electric co-op goes away, there's not going to be a ton of people, you know, banging down the door to serve these areas. So that's a scary proposition, and we don't want to get there and have to figure it out.
Yeah, well, I know our listeners get it. They've been calling in when we had our last legislative update. Perry and Columbus actually raised this very topic with the lawmakers. So they're making sure the message is heard in Helena. So is the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Ryan Hall, great to see you. Thanks for dropping in. All right, quick break here. We've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, so what happened in Poplar? Did something happen in Poplar, Montana yesterday? I had emails coming in. I had messages coming in. In fact, one reliable source in Wolf Point said, yeah, I was getting reports that there was a standoff in Poplar. They were thinking that the cartels might be involved. I haven't been able to confirm nor verify any of that rumint, the rumors intelligence. But I've had enough people reach out and ask about it, so I figured I'd throw the question out to you guys. I did send an email to the sheriff in Roosevelt County to see if he's got any information, and let me see if I've had an email come back yet. Haven't seen an email come back yet on that front, but I know we've got folks listening in Poplar and in Wolf Point right now, so if you have more information, shoot us a message on the Montana Talks app, so anyway, we'd be interested in hearing more on that. I did try to go see if the Northern Plains Independent might have some information posted there. You might recall they were the ones who shared the news about those three drug-related arrests in Wolf Point that a former FBI Hispanic gang expert believes were connected to TDA, Tren de Aragua, that violent Venezuelan prison gang that is at the center of the deportation flights down to El Salvador. So anyway, lots to talk about here on the show today. We've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Before we get into your phone calls here, I got to share one more story here with Ryan Hall, the editor of the Rural Montana Magazine. And in the next month edition, there's going to be a full report, photographs, and more. But share this story with us. One of the things that really stood out to you during this trip to Guatemala.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had a lineman from Sun River Electric, David Keller, and we had interpreters with us, but when we were wiring houses, we were wiring several at a time, and sometimes people were without interpreters because we only had three. So David went up to a house that was about a mile away from the village and installed the lights and light switches and everything and outlets, and the guy didn't know how to use a light switch. He'd never seen one. And this is a guy in his 40s, 50s.
That's crazy, because you'd think that in most countries, even if you don't have electricity, even if you don't have lights in your home or your village, that you've at least traveled to the big city and seen a light switch. But man, how much we take all of this basic stuff for granted.
Yeah, so what David did, because we didn't have power yet, you know, they were installing it before they turned it on, so he took his headlamp off, and he says charades and a prop, showed this guy. You push it, it comes on. You push it, it turns off. Because, you know, he thought you flipped it once, and now it, you know, that, like, on and off was one flip up and down. So he had to learn, nope, one flip is on, then another flip turns it off. Like, stuff we take for granted that we do every day, they'd never seen. Like, that's how important electricity was to this village, is he didn't even know how to use it. And So then you have to try to figure out how to tell him how to use it safely, and, you know, don't go and grab the light switch with wet hands and all these other little things that we all take for granted.
Yeah. Well, and it's been pretty clear that there's a lot of folks in this country that have taken electricity for granted. And I think even though some of those folks are starting to wake up and realize, like, my goodness, the demand for electricity, not just because of electric vehicles, not just because of all these devices, it is just skyrocketing right now. That's why you've got even tech giants building their own nuclear reactors just to power their data centers right now. And so, everything that President Trump is doing for hydro, for coal, natural gas, all of that right now, it is just desperately needed to maintain that reliability and affordability. Well, Ryan, thanks again for dropping in. Great to see you as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. First up on the phone lines, we've got Ron in Big Fork. Talking about some of the bills that are being discussed back in Helena during the legislative session. Ron, what's on your mind? Yeah, the legislature back in action after the transmittal break.
Yeah, I spoke to, I don't want to mention his name, but I spoke to someone I feel is very highly regarded, one of our state legislators, about this joke about nonpartisan elections. It violates a lot of people's First Amendment rights. You're not allowed to know who these people are. They tried to pass a bill where someone could elect to declare which party they were with. That was shot down. Now you see all these ads on TV from, is it Brad Barker, I think? Lou Jones and Corey Swanson. Corey Swanson, it looks like he's going to be a big disappointment. The only thing...
Oh, they've got ads on TV, what, opposing judicial reform or supporting certain ones? What? I haven't seen these ads.
Opposing opening up candidates to declare which party they're with. And this individual I spoke with said Marker Jones and Corey Swanson are all rhinos. The only thing this does is keeping this quote unquote non-partial is it keeps them everything secret until the election, and then these people, as soon as they get elected, they revert back to their screaming liberal policies.
Yeah, you're talking about the Montana Supreme Court in particular. Yeah, no. I remember. So when he gave his speech to the Montana legislature, the new Chief Justice, Corey Swanson, who's a vast improvement over the previous Chief Justice, if you ask me, he did come out and opposed mandatory partisan affiliation for judicial elections, Supreme Court elections in particular. If I'm not mistaken, I think Representative Lou Jones is, though, backing what some of the folks are opposed to forcing a candidate to declare party affiliation. But if I'm not mistaken, I think Representative Lou Jones is in support of judicial reform that would allow for political affiliation. So if somebody wants to have a political affiliation when they run for the Supreme Court, and to me, that just makes sense because, frankly, if you want to claim to be an independent, well, then you can claim independent as your political affiliation. But in reality, I forget who said it. Somebody posted on X, but they were talking about the left-wing mob that runs our Montana Supreme Court right now. And I agree with these folks. The out-of-state mega donors, they are the modern-day copper kings that are buying these so many of these elections, frankly. I mean, that's what happens. You have these deep-pocketed, out-of-state operatives, these Democrat Party mega donors, and then the Planned Parenthoods of the world, and they come in and they plow all sorts of money behind these Supreme Court candidates, and then they run as fake independents, fake moderates, pretending to be, you know, fair jurists, and then, as Ron pointed out, the moment that they get in power, they're nothing of the sort whatsoever. That's why judicial reform's got to be a top priority here. All right. If you think there's a fight over judicial races, what about water? Whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting. There's several different water bills that are before the legislature right now. Let's go to Chris in Columbia Falls. What about all that water, Chris?
And this is why they use these controversies. In my day, west of town, I used to cut two cords of wood. I could go down, get behind the gates. There was no gates. And you could cut a lot of wood, which I did. And I was doing, actually, the public a service, you know, by releasing a lot of those downfalls. You know, you got the saplings growing, and on and on and on it goes. But the point is... We listen to these controversies. Don't we have Flathead Lake? Don't we have the Fort Peck Reservoir? Lots of water, folks. And in my day back then, they had a truck, more trucks than I could count. And they used to go and do testing, ground testing, something I called it. And what were they testing? For water, for oil, for mining? So they were making all these studies that they never released these studies. They seemed to like the controversy. Now, what was all this for?
Hold it there for just a second, because I want to take a step back for a moment for our listeners here, Chris, and then I want to get your take on this and certainly give you an opportunity to make your other point here. Big picture is we've got folks in the state of Montana that are saying, we don't have water. We're running out of water. And it's like, you know, like in Bozeman in particular, the climate alarmists are the first to say, we don't have water. And they're using it to stop the ability to get affordable housing online, or maybe you can't get a well to power your ranch or your house or whatever. And so there's all these water bills. And there's some that are claiming we don't have water. Well, first, I think it's interesting, a state representative out of Sydney, she's got a bill that would actually study how much water is actually in the aquifer. Why don't we find out how much water is actually there before we start saying whether we have enough water or not? Second point is this. To your point, Chris, you're exactly right. We have plenty of water in Montana. We just ship it all downstream every spring. And that's why our forefathers built Hungry Horse and Fort Peck and these other reservoirs, to hold on to some of that water and to generate hydropower as well. So maybe we need to have a discussion about water storage instead of just shipping it all downstream all the time.
Peck, and you know, Hungry Horse Reservoir was built partially because of flooding. You wouldn't have the growth in this valley without that dam. So that's in part, that's that problem. The problem is that the controversy that they create, it seems like, why do they do this? I mean, the Flathead Lake is the largest body of water on the west side of America. See what I'm saying? And you've got all of this stuff that is growing and growing and growing in the valley and different places. But there's lots of water here. So why don't they, you got gravel pits right now. They've been working all winter long to get the gravel out of there so they can crush it. So they get it to high ground.
So the point being, like, hey, we need to be careful before we start telling people, nope, you don't get access to water because we don't believe there's enough water out there. Yeah, remember when the climate alarmists, when the lake level got lowered too early in the year because the Biden administration was mismanaging Flathead Lake levels? They just wanted to sit back and blame it on climate change. It's like, well, we've had warm years before, we've had drought years before, and yet the lake levels were better than now. And so, and then Zinke got on top of them, and the lake level was fine, but they just wanted to blame climate change.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
USDA officially announced yesterday that commodity producers will start receiving their share of $10 billion in assistance under the new Emergency Commodity Assistance Program, or ECAP. Enrollment begins today, Wednesday, March 19th, and farmers can expect payments within just 3 business days once their applications are processed. The aid, part of the American Relief Act, helps offset losses from the 2024 crop year. Commodity producers will receive pre-filled applications based on their 2024 acreage report, but farmers who have not reported can also visit their local FSA office starting today to enroll in person. In the Federal Register listing, USDA lists per acre payment rates by commodity, with wheat priced at $30.69 per acre, barley $21.67, corn $42.91. As for pulse crops, dry peas will be seeing a payment of $16 and some change, lentils $19.30, with small chickpeas priced at $31.45, large chickpeas priced at $24.02, canola priced at $31.83. More disaster relief funding, including $2 billion for livestock producers, is also in the pipeline. For more information and questions on enrollment, contact your local Farm Service Agency office. I'm Wayne Northland.
It's coming. Serving the great state of Montana.
From the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
But at what cost? We could have a whole rant. We could find so many different news stories that where they're reporting on a good thing that Trump is doing, or a good thing that the Republican legislators are doing in Helena. And then they'll say, but at what cost? This is kind of a funny sidebar here. So I sent out a tweet earlier this morning. And by the way, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. I know with the legislative session being back in action in Helena, a lot of folks are wanting to call in, talk about various bills and things like that. And yeah, feel free, keep them coming. And because this is a great way to be heard by your lawmakers in Helena. But if you got something else you want to talk about, give us a ring as well. But I saw this headline earlier this morning, and I think it was a news story out of South Dakota, but it was a Lee newspaper story. So the Billings Gazette picks it up. And let's see, where did I put the headline here? Okay, here we go. I tweeted this out about 4 hours ago. I said, headlines like this are a great reminder that the liberal media really does not care about Native American kids. Oh, yeah, they'll hire some indigenous affairs reporter, which is probably some trustafarian white kid, right? And they got paid some grant from some left-wing mega donor to hire an indigenous reporter to put a left-wing spin on everything. But this is the headline that inspired that tweet earlier this morning. I'll read it in full. Trump's voucher plan could help embattled Native American students, but at what cost? Did you hear what they actually said there? Trump's voucher plan could help embattled Native American students, but at what cost? So these liberal reporters are basically saying, yeah, Donald Trump's plan could really be helpful to Native American students. But you know what? We've got to continue to prop up the left-wing teachers' unions. We need the government employee unions to go to bat for the left-wing causes and for the Democrat Party. So, yeah, even though Trump's plan could help Native American students, what cost would it be? You know, just like Trump's border security plan helps Native Americans. But then the left is like, but at what cost? You're deporting their voters. You're deporting their operatives when you deport these Trende Aragua gang members. Unbelievable. I was chatting offline with our friend David Noble, who fills in for me on the show and always does a great job from time to time. He's got his Twitch TV podcast. And he said, oh, yeah. He said the media, they did the same thing with property tax relief. There will be property tax relief, but at what cost? Remember that? I think that was a Billings Gazette one as well, too. Oh, yeah, the state of Montana is going to deliver property tax relief, but what's it going to cost the city of Billings? Oh, the city of Billings is doing just fine. They should be figuring out ways to give property tax relief to their people, too. Anyway, and then David Noble had another one. You know, Trump's foreign policy will avoid World War III, but at what cost? I mean, you could just see this time and time again. Absolutely hysterical. But look at that. You know, Trump's voucher plan could help embattled Native American students, but at what cost? Yeah, and again, I don't know if any of our listeners in Poplar or Wolf Point, so what happened in Poplar yesterday? You know, at least the rumor was that there was some sort of a standoff. Some of the buildings were locked down for public safety concerns, so that led folks to speculate that the drug cartels were doing something. They were looking for somebody. Now, again, we have not verified that information. That's just, you know, questions that folks have been asking us. But would you be surprised? Would you be surprised if you had heard that the drug cartels were doing something like this? Of course, you shouldn't be surprised, because tribal leaders have testified before Congress on Capitol Hill that the drug cartels have been terrorizing their communities already. And they talked about the fact that, that this invasion on our southern border was taking place was a key reason why the drug cartels have been terrorizing our reservations in particular. Dan Bruner, he is the former FBI Hispanic gang expert who lives in Bozeman. We had him on the show. Remember when those three folks were arrested in Wolf Point? Remember Harvey Two-Face, the Harvey TDA Two-Face guy? He had half his face tattooed. The other face, the other side of his face wasn't tattooed. The other guy's whole face was tattooed. And the former FBI Hispanic gang expert looked at that case. He said, yeah, I've been talking to people up there. He said, I'm telling you, this is connected to TDA, Tren de Aragua. And look at these liberal judges that are trying to halt these deportation flights. Look at what the Democrats are trying to halt. They're trying to halt the deportation flights that are carrying the very Tren de Aragua gangbangers that are terrorizing our communities. As I mentioned on the show yesterday, Senator Steve Daines confirmed that the six Tren de Aragua gangbangers that were arrested in Belgrade and Bozeman have now been deported, which is great news. But, of course, leave it to the liberal news media to say, but at what cost? Here's Dan Bruner. He was actually on Fox News yesterday.
That is a temporary help. I mean, for example, we just hit in Bozeman, Montana. They took out six members of TDA. But I'm not worried about those six. I'm worried about the 15 or 20 others that are already there that has the network. Those are the ones conducting the criminal activity. And that's not just in it's also in Denver, Aurora, El Paso. Those are the ones. It's the others. I think the throwing them out of the country is a great solution. Result. But the solution is to get into the root structure of the criminal organization. And that's via...
Okay, Dan, it's going
to
be...
Well, and that's also why it's important to put these hardcore criminals behind bars, exactly what President Trump is doing by incarcerating many of them in that prison down in El Salvador. Because if we simply release them back out onto the streets of Venezuela or somewhere else, they might find a way back here. If not in the next 3 or 4 years under President Trump, who knows what could happen after that? So that's why it's important that they're incarcerated, not just deported, but incarcerated as well. All right, phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. Jason in Polson, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the House Bill 316 and what that's named is the personhood bill. And the reason they named it that was it would change the terminology of what a person is. Because I believe, and if you go back to biblical teachings, which if this country is truly one nation under God, then we use his word as a basis for our laws. I just wanted to read the first section of the House Bill 316. It would be used to define the word person to apply to all members of mankind at any stage of development, beginning at the stage of fertilization or conception, regardless of age, health, level of function, or condition of dependency. So this will protect the unborn children from being sacrificed. You see, CI 128, that passed as a constitutional amendment in our last election, basically opens the gateway for children of any age, even after birth, to be killed. And so we need to contact Brandon Lear and ask him in a respectful manner to bring this to the House floor for vote. Once it goes to vote, then it'll go back to the people in 2026 to amend the Constitution to protect all persons from conception on. So I just want to get the word out for that.
Hey, no, I appreciate you calling in. Yeah, I know there was a headline earlier this week in the Lee newspapers. Judge permanently strikes down several Montana laws restricting abortion. They say abortion care, but it's restricting abortion. There's nothing care about that, of course. You talked about CI 128. Remember when they were trying to convince people to vote for CI 128? They were like, oh, no, this actually puts limits on abortion. Remember they claimed that it puts limits on abortion? They sold it as something that it was not. And in reality, the reason why they wanted it is because they want no limits on abortion whatsoever. Even your, if you do polling of your typical Democrat voter, even the typical Democrat voter believes there should be a limit on abortions, that they should not have these late-term abortions, that they should not be doing basically abortion on demand all the way up until the due date. But that's effectively what, that's what the out-of-state mega donors that funded the campaigns for these Montana Supreme Court justices wanted. So that's what they're getting. They're getting what they paid for. The modern day copper kings are getting exactly what they paid for out of these left wing judges and justices here in Montana. But yeah, I'm with you, Jason. To the Montana legislature, keep pressing forward with the agenda for the American people. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, a great update to the conversation we had on the show yesterday. Yesterday we had Scott Kid Petit, who is the Polaris Dawn mission pilot, who was in space just a few months ago. For SpaceX and that first ever commercial spacewalk. And we had Kit Petit on yesterday talking about the rescue mission. You know, Joe Biden stranded those two astronauts, left those astronauts up in space. And SpaceX and Elon Musk to the rescue. And wow, what a remarkable splashdown. So great to see that successful rescue effort as the two astronauts landed safely in the Gulf of America. That's just beautiful all around, isn't it? You know, SpaceX rescuing American astronauts and then a safe landing in the Gulf of America. Should I say Gulf of America like four more times? You guys get it. Okay. Anyway, I love the response from Kid Petit, because I told him straight up. I was like, man, you know, most radio hosts, they're a lot smarter than me. They would try to goat the guy into saying something political. They would try to egg him on. They would want him to step into the muck and say something politically. And I was like, you know what, man, you don't have to weigh in on the politics of this. I said, but, you know, everybody's wondering, could SpaceX have rescued these astronauts much sooner? I mean, they were up there for almost 300 days, right? And he gave a great response. He says, look, I can't tell you about the political discussions and what was going on back at the shop, at the office while I was up in space. But from a scientific standpoint, yes, we could have rearranged flight schedules. We could have rearranged launch schedules. From a scientific standpoint, yes, we could have gone up there and gotten those astronauts much sooner. So from a scientific technical standpoint, yeah, it could have happened. It could have been done. So why didn't it get done? Now, Sean Hannity had Elon Musk himself on his show. I think this was last night. The Trump War Room shared this via X, and Elon Musk, the astronaut yesterday here on Montana Talks, laid out the science behind why it could have happened sooner. Elon Musk also covered the political science of why it not only could have happened sooner, but why it should have happened sooner.
I'm only going to ask you one political question, just for clarification purposes only. I don't think this should really be a political night. I think this is, right, you know, a moment where the country should celebrate the fact that you were able to rescue them, that it happened successfully in spite of the difficulty, the challenges, and the danger. But I just want to clarify on the issue of whether or not you had offered to send this rocket to space to rescue these astronauts sooner to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I heard somebody earlier today say, in fact, that didn't happen, when I believe it did.
No, we definitely offered to return the astronauts earlier. There's no question about that. The astronauts were only supposed to be there for 8 days. and they've been there for almost 10 months. So obviously that doesn't make any sense. SpaceX could have brought the astronauts back after a few months at most. And we made that offer to the Biden administration. It was rejected for political reasons, and that's just a fact.
Yeah, unbelievable. But at least the good news is we have a new president, a president who's securing our borders, who's deporting those criminal gangbanger TDA operatives that are terrorizing your communities, and who, you know, says, hey, yeah, let's go get our astronauts and rescue them from space.
Biden let our country get invaded. He allowed men in women's locker rooms, let down kids during COVID, took forever to open up the economy. There was never any urgency. Inflation, it'll go away. There was no fight in this man. He let American hostages wither all over the world. The minute Trump's elected, they're back. This Ukraine war would have gone on forever. Biden never even picked up the phone and called Putin once. Trump spent 2 hours on the phone with Vlad today, and they hashed out a semi-ceasefire. Biden let America die and fell asleep on the beach because he didn't care.
Well, there you go. Well said by Jesse Waters on his show last night on Fox News. Speaking of inflation, what about egg prices? Man, when they tried to blame Donald Trump for egg prices, it's like Joe Biden's the one who ordered all the chickens to be killed. What are you blaming Donald Trump for the egg prices for? But Secretary Brooke Rollins, the Secretary of Agriculture under President Donald J. Trump, she says, what a joy it is to celebrate Ag Day. Yesterday was Ag Day. With egg prices down nearly 50% from their peak, and we are just getting started. Lower prices are on the way for the American people. That was from USDA Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins. We've got a great agriculture-focused show coming up for you with Thursday's Montana Talks. Tomorrow, I'll be broadcasting live from the KATQ Radio Farm Expo in Plentywood. We've got a great lineup of guests that are going to join us for the show tomorrow. But if you want to come down and see us as well, there were two great ladies from Plentywood who were in Glendive for the Lincoln Reagan dinner. You guys should come on down. It'd be great to see you again. Anybody listening to KATQ, come on down. If you want to be on the mic, great. If not, you can just have a cup of coffee. And maybe there's some lefts there, too. And you can just come hang out and listen in on the show. Either way, we'd love to see you tomorrow. Montana Talks live from Plentywood, and then back in studio Friday.